Fáilte, fáilte, get duine go tí an díal de bit le mise Brennan ó Damian seo a heilin Radio Judex is laughing here. I nearly forgot to switch myself on. Not a good way to start the show, but we'll recover from here. If it's a dodgy start, I dropped the first ball, but I'll pick it up from here on in. Listen, folks, thanks so much to Evan, the legendary Evan for the Power Plus, as ever, Donna Marie for the news. I say Joe Dex is here looking after me as ever. Listen, folks, we have a packed show in store as ever this evening. Shortly, I'll be talking to John Gulday about Niamh Connell's defeat in the Ulster Club Championship against Scotstown yesterday. Myself and Park were down at the game. We'll be rounding all that up with him. Declan Bonner will be on the show later. Of course, he's the Éireann Gaels manager. Back-to-back titles. He was playing against Kingscourt the weekend and they beat Kingscourt. Very much an underdog victory. Of course, Declan is the new Fermanagh manager as well, a man synonymous with all things Donegal GA. Luke Barr, top Donegal coach, he's on the show as well. Of course, he's coach of Loch McGorry, who came up short against Kilkew at the weekend. Kilkew, of course, playing Declan Bonner's Éireann Gaels next. Of course, Luke was involved with the Donegal senior team the last couple of seasons. So we're going to get a few words from Luke and indeed that epic story of Loch McCrory this year in Tyrone. Also on the show, I am going to look back at the likes of the All-Stars. We had four All-Stars from the weekend and we had the brilliance of Michael Langan, of course, Brendan McCool, the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Murphy, and of course, Finn Barroty. I mean, four brilliant stories and, you know, I think four brilliant ambassadors for the game, and the different stories of how they came to getting this accolade is fantastic, and what a season again it was for Donegal. As I say, great ambassadors for club and county. And we're going to speak a bit about, we've got the under 21 championship was decided at the weekend in Hurling. We had St. Julian's coming through in that. Well done to them. Next weekend, Satanta, first time ever, a senior Ulster Club Championship game is coming up in Owen Beg against St. John's. St. John's, after, you know, known as a football club, massive break and winning a championship, a bit like Dunloy, who won the football. Everything's turning up in Antrim there. We wish them all the best. Of course, the Burt Hurlers, they made the junior Ulster final at the weekend. Well done to them. Our three Donegal football teams were all lost, I suppose, in Ulster. Glencolm Kill beaten at the weekend on Saturday as well against Carrick Macross, 122-9. Bad defeat for them. Now, 5 week layoff. No more Niamh Connell having 4 weeks of a layoff. Huge amount of time to be waiting on a game, but certainly disappointed by that. Just in that Glencolm Kill area, I just want to mention there's a 20-year anniversary for Michael Oliver McIntyre. Sadly passed and sadly missed by his lovely wife, Carol Ann, and I was chatting to his son, Owen, as well. They're doing a special night, all proceeds in aid of the palliative care in Donegal, the 27th of December in the Blue Haven. The tickets can be got locally down there in the Northwest and on their Facebook page. And if you want to even contact me direct, I'll put you right on that one. So, folks, yeah, packed show as ever. As well as that, as I say, with the three lads, the interviews, I also caught up with one of the men I mentioned earlier. Not only an All-Star, as I talked about, but also Young Footballer of the Year, and that is Finn Barroty. Finn Barroty, welcome to the DL Debate.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Finbar, great to have you on. So, Finbar, listen, before we get all the good stuff, because this has been an epic year for Donegal, for Niamh Connell, and for you and those teams and individually, it's just been phenomenal. Yesterday, the season came to an end. Tough game, Scotstown, Finbar. There was that early period where you probably should have been about 1-4 up, and then Niamh Connell or Scotstown came with a big scoring burst, and it just left it. You were chasing the game from then on.
We kind of had the chance to nearly get the scores on the boards, and then when you're not taking the chances, good teams are going to punish you. So, and that's what Scotstown did. They came running at us, they were hitting us hard. So, yeah, it was another day in the end of it, but can't really fault them. They were the better team on the day, and we just didn't put the chances away we could.
Yeah, indeed. And we'll be running through all that with the lads, of course, breaking down the game, Finbar. But listen, what a season, Finbar, it's been for you. I mean, when you look back at it, this first year, coming into Donegal, Ulster champions, playing the All-Ireland final, you know, you were club champions, club player of the year, you won the Young Football Year and an All-Star. I mean, it's just been an unbelievable first year for you. How does it feel?
Probably doesn't mean as much to me as I probably should. Like, I'll probably think about more in the years to come. Like, it's a great honour, but it's just the games are rolling in and I just love playing football, so it's not really the awards that I'm kind of excited about. It's more just actually the games coming up and playing football. So yeah, no, it's at the same time still been a class year and it's a great honour to get all of that.
Yeah,
and you know,
you even squeezed in an under-20 Ulster final as well in the middle of all that. I nearly forgot about that. Finbar, is that long ago? But Finbar, see, the thing last year about coming in and the age and all that, but obviously looking back, and all of us knew that had seen you were going to be ready to play probably a bit of a younger age than most lads around your age. You physically were ready for it, but coming into the team, what was your thoughts coming in? Was it just like, it's brilliant to be in the Donegal senior panel, or was it, listen, I want to get into the starting 15? What was the objectives from the get-go?
Well, like the first year, my objectives were nearly trying, we didn't know what it was and all, but in my head I was always trying to, like at the first week maybe it was like try and stay up or something, like prove a point, and then after that I always just want to try and start. Like, it's one of the standard I hold for myself. Like, I want to start. I'm not really here to make numbers. Like, I want to push myself and be the best player I can. So, like, when we, after that Armagh game and all the handling and the McKenna Cup, like, then I was like, what do I need to do myself this year in the league championship to prove a point that I'll be fit to do it again next year? And then once the pre-season came, just try to push on and do the right stuff to make sure I was in the starting team.
Yeah, and from all that side of it, all the S&C and all that, you relish that stuff. You know, you can feel yourself getting stronger. You know, you can see once you're involved with the lads, the quickening of training and the quickening in the games, that you were well able for this, and then you started to excel. That in itself, I suppose, and that's what you're alluding to, Finbar, that's where the excitement is, you know, that those challenges and you can feel yourself kind of getting embedded into the Donegal team and then really be playing a pivotal role for them.
Yeah, no, the S&C is such a big part of it now. Like, you know, you can play football these days, so, you know, any wee bit of way you can enhance yourself is just vital. So we had a great backroom team like S&C and even for club and boys around you just pushing you on, and it's so self-rewarding when you kind of see yourself, like, geez, if I looked at myself last year, geez, I thought I was in great shape, and then you see yourself a year later and you're like, geez, I didn't think I could get to this point where I am now. And yeah, it's just a class feeling when you can just feel the improvement and the good buzz around the team.
And for me, I suppose, and most people listening in have an idea of the commitment, but it just really is, it is an everyday thing, you know. Either you're doing S&C, you're on the pitch training, you know, or you're trying to get your recovery in, which we know is as important as the training, but
yeah,
it's never from your mind, Finbar, I would imagine, that it isn't connected to football.
Exactly. You know, like, when I was outside of it, like, I was what do those kind of boys do? Like, they must have, like, the most, like, strict life, whatever, and, like, it's like they're gods, like, and then when you're, like, in it yourself, you're like, it's nearly just ritual, like, it's just an everyday life, you know, you're just doing the same things. So it doesn't really come second to none nature. Like, you're just like, geez, it's just normal. Like, I do this every day. You know, where you think it would be so hard to, like, push yourself on, but then you're actually in it. You're like, geez, I've nothing better to be at. I love doing this. Like,
yeah. And from with the new rules and that coming in this year, do you think that in many ways for a player of you, because you're such a go and get 'em type defender, and then you're breaking up the pitch as well, you can score, has that as well, all that created such an excitement this year for you? And do you think that type of play, that's where you are? You are like a, you know, you are a man that can be everywhere in the pitch and can do everything. You know, you've a bit of, you've an element of everything in your game.
I just thought I was probably one of the people that weren't too pushed for the 2-pointers, like, because I thought the game was very pushed. Like, naturally, I am a defender, like, and I thought it was very pushed to forwards, like, self-rewarding forwards. And I was like, what do the defenders get out of this? Like, so it was good to see when actually we came into the rules, the defenders did get. People do appreciate good defending and getting turnovers. Turnovers were nearly as good as scores. Like, every time I got a turnover, I got a massive buzz. You could hear the, like, yeah. And the, like, from everybody in the team, every time there's a turnover, the roar from the crowd, you just get like counter-attack, and it's one of the most exciting things to see. When you see the whole team running up and punishing teams, it's one of the best feelings when you just get that turnover and you can just see the whole team running as a unit.
And for me, I think that's one of the most exciting things why the Donegal fans took to you so much is that turnover ability, because sometimes when we're sitting in that zonal, we're a wee bit standing off, but you were often the guy for me who was going out going, no, I'm going after this ball, and you would go after the second man, maybe even the third man. And I think that's why the Donegal fans took to you so much, is because sometimes in that zonal, you're sitting a wee bit maybe waiting for a bad pass or connection, people kind of just hanging back, but you actually took it upon yourself a lot of times to go charging out, going after people. And I think if you got that turnover then, as you said, Donegal were on the break, but it created such an element of excitement. That's what you brought a lot of the time in those games.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what I was trying to say. I don't know if I said it right, but yeah, I kind of, that's what I was always kind of known for, even for a club underage. And then when I kind of got up there, I was trying to do it nearly all the time, like a wee bit erratic kind of defending. I would always be trying to get that turnover run after boys, but then I realised like the level of standard from county is not like club anymore. So you only kind of have like one or two chances, maybe three, like to actually run and chase after boys. You have to kind of make the most of it. Like you can't always be just running after boys.
You have to
be smart about it too, like, because I know there's I'm one of the men, I hate sitting back. I love chasing after the game. Like I love chasing after boys.
Fimber, do you know what? As I said to you, I think because of the way you play the game, outside of the talent that you have in that, you look like as well you really enjoy your football. And, you know, coming out of a time where I've watched a lot of football over the years where football got a wee bit dragged down and, you know, the percentages and that bit of spirit and that bit of energy, I think, is what people come to watch sport about. And you brought so much of that. And I think as well, listen, I was delighted for you as well coming through to win the titles that you did this year. You know, it was such, I think it was just a great story within the Donegal story. Of course, your clubmate, Jim, in charge of that, going into the winning the club championship as well. And Fimber, tell me, how did it feel then, going up? You know, young footballer year's a huge accolade, you know, when you look at the names that are on that list coming down, and they get an All-Star as well. I know what you mean, Fimber. Is it kind of like there's just so much has happened with all that, that it's kind of hard for the dust to settle? Maybe it will now if you get a small bit of downtime.
Exactly. When a downtime, probably will. It's just very hard to process. Like, everything's kind of coming thick and fast. Like, when they were doing that, the whole way up to it, like the few weeks about when the nominations and everything, I was all cool-headed. I was like, I don't mind, whatever. If I don't get it, I'm happy enough. And at least I got nominated and stuff like that for the two of them. Like, and then it came to the actual, like, Charles Burns speaking and Marty Morrissey, and I was like, I was absolutely sweating buckets. I was like, oh my God. Like, I think they named out the cornerbacks and I wasn't mentioned. And I was like, geez, they hardly forgot about me. Like, I was panicking away. Yeah. Like, and then,
hold on.
Then they ended up, I did get the both of them, but I was one panicking boy there.
No, hey, listen, then, don't worry about that. Listen, you can't have everything at the very young age. That is minor detail, right, man. You'll do your talking on the pitch, lad. Don't you worry about that, Fimber. It's just been a phenomenal year. And listen, I just wanted to say from what I was saying around how much the Donegal fans have taken you in terms of the way you play the game, your attitude to the game is first class, and the same, of course, the Niamh Connell faithful the same. So listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking here, Fimber, and of course, leading into next season, we will be looking for bigger and better things. There's only one bigger thing you can do next year, I suppose, and that's the ultimate.
Exactly, and you know what, we weren't far away from it this year, we're very close, you know, hopefully next year we can just keep on pushing on, and when the chance comes, we just snatch at it and don't let it slip through the fingers again.
Yeah, top class, and we hope so too, Fimber, we'll be following you all the way. Thanks very much for joining us on the DL Debate this evening. Yeah, Fimber Rorty, fantastic, what a great guy, hey, nice catching up with him, and I can't believe that they forgot about him up at RTE. How can you forget about that man? There's another man on the line here you could never forget about. It's the one and only John Gilday. Are you there, John?
I am, Brendan.
John, what do you think of him over there? I mean, it's pinch yourself stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. Listen, I suppose there's an eagerness and a rawness of youth about him as well. Like, he has the world at his feet at 19, but he's so likeable and he does so much around the place as regards, you know, working within the community, working with kids with disabilities. You know, he's down to give you an example of the young fella, and this is really what makes him so likable, because he's brilliant on the field, but he never forgets where he comes from. So obviously St Unan's and Glenties were playing in the under 21 game on the Saturday morning, so he was in Dublin. He collected his dual All-Star, which is an incredible achievement. And then he was at the under 21 game, even though he wasn't playing, and he was playing in the game the next day for the seniors. And he was at the game in a woolly hat and a tracksuit down to cheer on the boys as well. So his feet are very much firmly on the ground. Yeah. Very likeable young fella, has an amazing start to his career, but was always destined for big things, even at a very early age. I think he's one of the only few players in Ulster that has back to back Ulster All Stars at school level. You know, so he's been coming from very far out, and sometimes that doesn't translate into, you know, awards or achievements or even development as a player. But, you know, he's got it all at 19 years of age, and he's going to be a huge and pivotal player for Niamh Connell and obviously Donegal as the years go on, because I think he's going to make an outstanding centre halfback as he develops his game, and he's only going to get better.
Yeah, that's hope so indeed. John, listen, I concur with you on that. John, you mentioned that on 21, Martin Regan wasn't happy about it. He commented after the game. I don't think St Unan's were that happy, even though Niamh Connell still won the game pretty comfortably. You know, the other headline, you know, Regan's gutted. You know, obviously there's an interview up on HighlandRadio.com there, and you could obviously tell John nothing but gutted. I think going into this, you know, obviously Scotstown were favourites. They were home. You know, Niamh Connell obviously have been dominating Donegal recently, but Scotstown have been really, like, just, it's been Scotstown and Monaghan, basically. You know, they've got a sprinkling of serious talent right across the pitch. And my feeling was going into it, John, that Niamh Connell's performances in Donegal probably weren't going to be enough in this game. They're going to have to really up it. And, you know, the month's break, a lot of people talked about, but they certainly started the game brilliantly, John. Should have won 4 on the board, and you were like, Scotstown were at 6s and 7s, and I suppose maybe they could have survived that that onslaught that came then, you know, in that 12-minute spell where Scotstown had that 2-5, but, you know, it left it. It was a chasing game from then on.
Yeah, and the way the game has gone right now, when you have your purple patch, you have to score heavy. And Niamh Connell started the first 10, 15 minutes very well, by all manner of reckoning. They were on the ball a lot. They had a lot of possession. They looked very comfortable. And then they got hit very quickly by 2 goals, and the game was away from itself. And then, uncharacteristically, what happened was Niamh Connell then went chasing the game a little bit, and they carried the ball into contact, got turned over time and time again. And then what I would say is that Scotland moved the ball very well, used the one very well, you know, had the target man inside, got it inside early, and then had men off the shoulder. And then really what happened was they took over around the middle of the field. You know, Hughes, like, rolled back the years, had a huge game. And then Big McPhillips is a savage big man. So then we had no out ball. So then it just, when you're hemmed in, all of a sudden 2-5, and ultimately the game was over at that stage. And I jokingly sent you a text when Niamh Connell were 10 points down at halftime, saying, that's it, perfectly placed now, because here comes Niamh Connell with their usual second
half. If that was Donegal, John, you wouldn't have put that beyond Niamh Connell, but you just get the feeling with Scotstown, they were going to be very much organised. You could see actually from the start of the second half that they were happy enough to concede an odd score, just don't give away goals. And even though 2-pointers is a thing, you know, John, the goal, I think just the way it can really lift the team and the crowd, it still is a score that, you know, seems to really ignite. And you could see Scott somewhere like, don't give away any goals and we'll win this match. You know, even though there's a couple of brilliant 2-pointers in there by Shane Malone.
Yeah, but I suppose then, like, they're an experienced outfit. Like, they've won, is it like 7 of the last 8 or 7 of the last 9 Monaghan titles, and they've also been in 2 out of the last 3 Ulster finals.
Yes.
So this is a very experienced blend of players that have pulled a couple of younger fellas into the squad as well. Number 10 there was very good. Kick points for full, kick 2-pointers. And really, I think they're on a mission this year, because they felt maybe that they're good enough to win an Ulster title and haven't done it. And there's no way that you can give a side of that calibre a 10-point lead, because then at that stage, all they have to do is tap on a score here and a score there. Don't let you go on a 5 or 6, 7-point run. And they're always going to be, you know, 6 or 7 points ahead of you at the very end. But interestingly, you know, if Niamh Connell had taken all their chances early in the second half, the game would have been much tighter. But I felt that Scotstown played it out at their level. I know that the man sent off You know, Conor McCarthy was a 2023 All-Star, didn't even take him off the bench. So the game was played very much on their terms after that 2-5 onslaught just before halftime.
Yeah. And John, you mentioned that, obviously, Max McGuire, what a game he had. Mm. That player coming, though the ball was switched a few times, it was one-on-one, very, very difficult with a pacey player to shut him down there, and particularly with 11v11 now, them gaps was opening up. But you talked as well about that direct ball and the Jack McCarron. Was there something, John, do you think there could have been a change maybe on to McCarron? He was having such an influence at a time when it was kind of backs to the wall, where it should have went backs to the wall. But I mean, I know, John, that's grand in hindsight, but you were thinking in that period when Scotstoun got on top, which was the winning of the game, couldn't Niamh Connell have sat deeper and said, right, we need to batten down the hatches here to survive this? Because I think Scotstoun managed to open up the game a lot. They say they were kicking the ball in, but the danger was actually coming from really deep, obviously, right from the full-back line even, you know.
Yeah, it was off the shoulder, the number four that scored two goals, and he came from very deep and came very late. I suppose the answer is yes, but it all happened so quickly, because if you look at the 15th minute, it was like 4-2. Everything was under control. There was a bit of a breeze. So Niamh Connell were very much, even though they weren't shooting the lights out, they were very much in a good place. And then in a 10-minute spell, the game was gone.
Yeah.
And it's very hard, no matter how experienced you are, to react to that kind of onslaught. And, you know, everything that was going, every shot that Jack McCarron took, every goal attempt, they basically took them. So Scotstoun had a 10-minute purple patch where every shot they took, either went over the bar, they had two pointers, they had one pointers, they had two goals. And Glenties were, or Niamh Connell were shell-shocked at that stage. And halftime couldn't come quick enough for Martin to try to work his magic again. But as I said, you know, an experienced outfit like Scotstoun with the calibre players they have, you know, they're not going to let a 10-point lead slip, no matter how good the new rules are. And it was really a bridge too far. And ultimately, I suppose it's the tale of Niamh Connell all year. They've got out of jail. If you look at their championship run, I would imagine in the quarterfinal, semi-final and final, they probably were only ahead out of the three games, which probably lasted 240 million minutes with extra time and everything else, probably only ahead 10 minutes in the entire three games.
Yeah.
They were leaving it very late all along. They were giving themselves big holes to dig themselves out of. And eventually, no matter how resilient you are and how much character you are, you're going to meet somebody that's not going to let you get away with it. And that's what happened on Sunday with Scotstoun.
Yeah. And John, I suppose of all teams, people thought because of the 11v11, it would affect Niamh Connell, maybe because of the way they played the game. But they came through and won the championship again. It was kind of like, well, listen, we could play whatever way they want. But the high press in that early part, John, looked very good from Niamh Connell. They were going after, and they seemed to have Scotstoun rattled. But then, as I say, I suppose that's that risk-reward, isn't it? If you are pressing up the pitch, you're going to leave massive gaps. And whereas probably Scotstoun had that extra bit of quality that maybe Niamh Connell didn't come up against in Donegal. And that, as you said, once they went into that scoring spree, it was always going to be difficult against a very experienced team then to come back. I mean, yeah, but John, they did keep, I mean, testament to them, like they kept coming and coming. They were trying their best to get back in, but even as a stock, they won't get again after the game. Like, one-pointers were never going to be enough.
No, and listen, the one thing you can't, you know, ever talk about is the lack of character in the Niamh Connell club or the Niamh Connell team. They've proven that time and time again. And, you know, they were unlucky in little bits and pieces as well. You know, Liam McLoon probably had a shout for a penalty. Kieran Gallagher probably should have shoveled the ball one more pass for an open goal. All those things have to really work in your favour on a big day like that, because when you're playing quality, you need everything going your way. The other thing is gain, and, you know, it's something that's been overlooked to a major extent because Niamh Connell did win the championship. It was kind of like business as usual to a certain extent. But Kieran Thompson on big days like that is absolutely invaluable.
Yeah, I
know he got his All-Star nomination, but to me, he's been the outstanding club player in Donegal for the last 10 years. And time again, if you look over the history of Niamh Connell in big games, when somebody really had to dig it out and go to the well and catch that big ball and hit that big, you know, two-pointer or one-pointer back in the day, Kieran was the man to do that.
Yes.
And without that level, you can get away with it. And Niamh Connell got away with it in Donegal. And to be honest, I would suggest, Brendan, the feeling in Donegal when Kieran got injured in the All-Ireland final was, well, that's it. Niamh Connell are cooked. They're not going to do anything this year without Kieran. That's how influential Kieran is within the Niamh Connell club. And I feel if he was there, he's a quality player. He brings experience. He brings a huge amount of skill and talent. And then added to the fact that Jack McKelvey didn't start. So, as I said, and playing quality teams that are challenging for Ulster, and Scotstoun are a team that if they get over Kilcoo, who have been their nemesis, would challenge for an All-Ireland title. You have to have everything going right for you. You need all the breaks on the day, and you need all your quality players available. And it just was a bridge too far in what I would suggest was still a very successful year for Niamh Connell, given all the adversity they had and all the near misses they had over the last, 3 months in the championship.
Yeah, John, as ever, well rounded up this evening. Thank you so much, sir. And we will speak to you. I might speak to you next week. We might do a wee end of season roundup, have a wee party in here. Joe Dex will get a wee party hat and a
party. You have me a party.
Top man. A chocolate day. Thanks very much, sir.
Take care.
Top
bye
man,
bye.
Niamh Connell, Donegal legend himself. After the break, we'll speak with Declan Banner. Yes, thanks, of course, to Sister Sarah's for ongoing support of the show. Earlier on today, I caught up with the one and only Declan Bonner. I'll get that right, Joe. Declan Bonner, welcome to DL Debate.
Yeah, good to be here, Bren.
Good to see you. Declan, I could go through an intro here for you, but for between playing and management, my God, there has been so many chapters to this Declan Bonner story. But let's come right up to date, because everybody knows the rest of them. You're underage, your clubs, you're Donegal twice, and titles everywhere, Dick. You know, it's been phenomenal. But this, the most recent chapter, Aaron Gales Balik. Dick, long time since you won a championship. Yourself went in there. Paul went in along with you, Paul Brennan. And lo and behold, championship comes, back-to-back champions, and now the Fermanagh management, Dick. So, listen, it's been a phenomenal a couple of years for you again, Dick. But the whole Aaron story, where did this come from?
Yeah, listen, I suppose when I stepped away in 2022 with the senior, they call the senior team, I was going to take time out. I was just absolutely burned out, to be quite honest. I was still chairman of my own club during those years. So I'd done probably, I think at that stage in 2022, I'd done 10 years in the chair. And so 2022, the winter of 2022 and going into 2023, I was looking for a manager for our own club team who were involved in the junior championship and playing Division 3 football. Couldn't get a manager, and ultimately I ended up managing myself. And I said I would just do it for a year just to see the lads through. And ultimately we ended up winning the junior championship in 2023. And I stepped away after we got beat then in Ulster against Lisnaski. And again, my mind was, I'm going to just take some time out of this because, I've had no break. And that just before Christmas, I think around about maybe second week in December, a couple of lads arrived. I actually didn't know who they were, to be quite honest. And they met me. They said, Aaron Gales, they wanted to see would I be interested in taking them on. They'd lost a couple of finals. They hadn't won a championship in 42, 43 years, whatever. And I was very reluctant, to be quite honest. I didn't even know much about the club, to be quite honest. I didn't know how far it was to go up there. So anyway, I said, listen, leave it after Christmas. I'll meet you. I'll take a run up and have a look. So I went up and, I said, listen, you know what? We'll take it on. And once the Christmas was over, a new lease of life again, and went in. And I took Paul Brennan, who I had worked with for about 5 years with Donegal, and I just like the energy and intensity that Paul brings to everything he does. And yeah, it's been brilliant. I have to say, it's probably one of the best decisions I've made.
Those things, them big breaks, as you know, they are like some of those absolutely treasured moments. When I was talking this last week to somebody about, we won the championship here and of course the famous 97, and then obviously it rolled on the 99 kind of, but I remember even the next championship and Rory Cavan and Dunn and them were all playing, and the buzz had just, like, it was nowhere like it was. So when you have this big break, it just infuses the whole parish and everybody. You'll never get those moments again. If Aaron won it next year or whatever, you don't have that same buzz. So fantastic time, but brilliant for you to come in, Dick, and obviously your impact to them, your professionalism coming in there with Paul, give them that extra bit of belief.
Yeah, exactly, Bren. And when we went in there, they were on the back. They'd been in two finals. They only came up from intermediate. They won intermediate, I think, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and then they got to two finals. Derrigonley beat them the previous year, and then the Skilling Gales the year before that. So like they would be the two big clubs. Derrigonley have been on a massive run there over the last maybe 10, 15 years. Yeah. I think they won maybe 6, 7 titles. But in saying that, when we came in, the one thing probably from an early stage we could find that there was a real hunger within the group and a real willingness to listen and learn. And I have to say, really, really enjoyed it. Great bunch of people, great club. It's only a small club, Brian. Small club. And, to go back to back was absolutely massive. And, we're still going after the weekend,
Yeah, and just on that, obviously last year, tough draw, Scotstoun, second half went against you. It can happen. We've seen it, how much it was difficult for Niamh Connell yesterday. But you know, you're playing King's Court. I looked at the odds going into it, very much outsiders into that game, and particularly with the way the match went, you'd have thought maybe going into added time. When the game went to a draw, maybe it was looked towards him, but like the resolve of the team, I mean, outscoring him 7-2 in extra time, I mean, you must be so proud of the lads in terms of dealing with that adversity, because you would have thought at that point the advantage has gone back to King's Court, but it wasn't to be.
Yeah, I suppose looking at where they've come from over the last couple of years, you know, we got to, I mean, the games in Fermanagh last year, there's a number of really good, strong senior clubs there. So we got out of a tough group last year. We ended up beating Derrygonley in a semi-final, I think by a point, late score. We ended up drawing the first match against Enniskillen in the final, and we won the replay. We drew two of our group stages this year, end up a draw and a final again. So we've actually been in four finals in the 2 years we've been there, four county final days. We got over the line, you know, against Derrygonley this year, and, you know, really good game of football. But yeah, last Saturday night was one of those games. We started really well. We got three goals in the first 15 minutes. We were 12 points up in one stage, and we allowed them back. There was a breeze, and the way the game's gone, you know, the modern game, with momentum swings, it was massive, and you know, Kingscourt came back into it, a number of really, really good players, and end up a draw at full time. We lost a couple of players, and we were working off a small enough group of players, but the lads showed tremendous resolve in extra time. We won it 7-2 in extra time, won the match by 5 points, but we're really, really good in that last 30 minutes.
Brilliant, and of course now a small matter of Kilcoo.
Yeah, whatever the odds were before Kings.
You're about to take a wee drink of your coffee nearly, here, sorry.
You can nearly treble that, but listen here, you know, probably the two standout teams in Ulster and have been for a long, long time are Kilcoo.
But isn't it brilliant to be in this conversation? Yeah. You know, here you are. I mean, you think about 3 years ago, you're thinking you've won a game in Ulster, you're back-to-back title, now you're playing Kilcoo. I mean, it's dream stuff for Alex Aaron, you know, in terms of where you know, to get to this stage.
Yeah, you're right, Brendan. Sometimes I don't, you know... I was even asking some of the lads, do they realise the position they're in?
Yes.
The privileged position that we're in, being the last four. Listen, we're up against an absolute massive match against Kilcoo, who have probably ambition not just winning Ulster, but winning an All-Ireland club. But listen, we're there, and we'll look forward, get our preparations ready for it, and you know, we'll give it a go.
And it's learning, Zach, and of course now you've taken a Fermanagh job. You know, I looked at Fermanagh last year, particularly the game against Down, the way they competed with Down, really had Down beaten, and then look at the season Down went on. They have then, you know, obviously semi-finalists in the Talchin as well. Like, so there's a good core of players there, and obviously that was one of the reasons that you took this job, because you see there is a good amount of talent there to work with.
Yeah, listen, again, it came out of the blue, to be quite honest, because I expected Kieran Donnelly that he was going to be still there, but I got a call from a number of players within the leadership group to see what I'd be interested in the position, and yeah, listen, there are a bunch that are... They're committed. They want success. They want to push this things on. Now, there's no guarantees. Listen, we'll try and set up the best possible platform for those lads, and you know, we've assembled a really good backroom team. They're very, you know, in terms of the coaching end of it, and you know, some really good lads coming in there. We have Aidan McCarron from Tyrone, Emlyn Mulligan from Leitrim. Paul will be head coach, and also Nevin O'Donnell, who's just out of playing, originally Cavan, and he's in his goalkeeping coach. But I mean, they're all really good lads, brilliant energy about them, and there's one thing I really look for in a group, not just even back from player, but just that energy, that you know, and setting the standards for those guys, and yeah, that's what we'll be about now, and that starts fairly quickly for us, you know.
And do you see that energy you're talking about, Dick, is very interesting, because what I've seen from coaching and talking to people and players, There's nearly an overload at times there of the process and all that. Now, I know, listen, you're very personable. You bring that energy yourself. You like a bit of crack. Now, that's not crack as in, you know, this is fun, but it's adding the fun to it. Like, and it's funny you took Emlyn in, because I would know Emlyn well. Emlyn's a good lad, and he'll be a good lad about the dressing room and that. And that takes very important, because there's so much training time and the Gaeilge time and that you want lads to come and enjoy it. And
you're right, Brendan, 100%. And to me, the most important thing for me is you look at all the coaching manuals, you look at all the stats, the analysis that comes out, and we're in. Yeah, we will cover all those angles. Yeah. But to me, the most important thing is having everyone on the one page, from players right through the kit man to the management team, the coaching staff, the whole lot, bringing that energy, that buzz to training, bringing that intensity, enjoying every last minute of it, and that's to me is you know, that's the standards, and that's where me as the team manager has to set that, and within that, anywhere time I do take in guys into coaching or whatever, even from a player's point of view, I have no time for negativity, to be quite honest. It has to be a positive environment to work in, and these guys need to want to come in and really enjoy it, and you reap the rewards from that day. You can see it, you can see the lads are training, pushing themselves on, and that's the environment that I just really want, you know.
Yes. So a few of the, obviously the Bleak lads will be involved, you suppose. Dick, what you've done is now, I suppose, with the last 2 years, you're analysing all the other club teams where most of the players are going to be obviously coming from. So it's going to have given you a great background, because if you just come into management now, taking over from Anna, you're going to have to be trawling and going through all that, but you're already well set up to have a good grasp of the panel you'll have.
No, exactly, yeah. And that process has started, naturally enough, and we have lads working at the minute. Yeah, I think the due start date is sometime now, maybe next week, I'm not... but around next week. But and saying that, yeah, I would know the ins and outs of Fermanagh football over the last couple of years, and it's given me a really great insight of what's going on and what players are out there.
You didn't have any fallouts there with other clubs and players?
Never. You know me, Brian, never very good. I've got very timid in my old age. The day that you lose that edge, you know, you have to bring an edge to everything you're doing. If you're not falling out with opposition or referees or linesmen, then you're not doing your job.
I get you, boss. I get you. I'll still call you boss. Dick, then, of course, I was speaking to you last week. Your young fella Killian's over playing college football, a kicker there. You went over to watch him play him. What was that experience like?
Oh, brilliant. It's absolutely, really opens your eyes in terms of the college he's at. It's a small enough college. It's a private college, but the facilities, what they have, is unbelievable. It's full on. Like, for a young fella going over there, a massive opportunity, a massive experience for him. And he's been doing well. He's been kicking well. But you know, you're only as good as your last kick. And you know, we've seen, you know, what happened with Jude and Jude McInhamney in relation to the Giants. And you know, it's a pressure. There's no doubt about it. But it's something that he wanted to do. You know. Naturally enough, I was disappointed initially because, you know, the club we have back at home in the Rossi, you want to see all these young lads that are showing promise that they're going to be there playing with their club. But his ambition was to go into American college, and that's where he's at, and he's really thriving at the minute and enjoying it.
So has he got a scholarship, Dick, and that basically, because he's doing his, he's a kicker, does that kind of help him in terms of fees and that?
And then there's
a chance of being drafted?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Yeah. And even at college level, you can be drafted. So he's at a D2 college. I mean, they're actually in the conference final this weekend. I think this might be their last match. It's a conference final. They may have another game after that. So it's a short enough season. I think maybe 12 games. So, and it's all to do with stats and numbers and, you know, percentages, you know, and then there's a draft in January sometime where he could move to a different college. And but he's there for 4 years, no matter he's on a 4 year thing there, 4 year scholarship. So, yeah, listen, what an experience, to be quite honest. And we spent 10 days over there and really enjoyed it.
You weren't a bad kicker yourself, did you have a go at it when you were over there? I presume you did.
I'd be afraid of pulling out a hamstring at the stage, Bren. But there's no doubt it's, and the Americans know how to put on a show. It's real
kicking. They do.
And
the show can be bigger than everything.
Brilliant experience, to be quite honest. Really enjoyed it.
So like, just looking at folks, that was Declan Boner there. What a busy man, and what a few years he's had. The success just keeps coming for him there. Now folks, I'm delighted to say, last segment of the show, I'm going to be joined by Luke Barrett, Donegal coach, of course, coach of Loch McGrory currently. Luke, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Brendan.
Look, thanks so much for hanging on there. There's a man you might want to talk to, or might want to talk to you, Declan Boner. Now he's going to face the side that you faced at the weekend, Kilcoo. It's been some story for Aaron Gales, Luke.
Aye, brilliant for them. Obviously going back to back in Fermanagh now, and they're obviously their second tilt at Ulster Club, you know, and I think that bit of experience is going to stand to them, you know. Obviously, Kingscourt was a good side, and to overcome them and to win in Ulster Club is very difficult. And they're playing, obviously, Kilcoo now, and they're going to go on underdogs, and I'm sure that they'll be happy enough for that. They went into underdogs the weekend, so I'm sure they'll be... they'll do their due diligence and get ready for that.
Yeah. And look, just before we get into Loch McCrory and the amazing story, obviously you were involved with Donegal the last couple of years. Look, just from a Donegal supporter's perspective, I just want to thank you, because it was two unbelievable years, look, but you're going on to do other things this year and stay in touch with, of course, the project at Loch McCrory.
Yeah, look, it was brilliant, Brendan. It was a brilliant experience. I had some magical days in the 2 years, I'm just looking forward to now. And I suppose when that ended, Loch McCrory was we started straight away, you know. I was pretty much up there straight away after and that. So I haven't really had time to digest much, you know. It's just been a whirlwind number of months.
Yeah, so county involvement and coaching's not enough for you. You got to go senior club as well for your supposed time off. So, listen, you love it. Look, I know you're doing more of a master's there and the coaching. You're very much deep into the whole process of it. You know, it's got, obviously, look, very, very, what a lot of people call kind of complex across the board. But your kind of mindset and who you are, you like that. You like the entire breakdown of individual to team plays, the tactics, the coaching and the setups of these high-end teams that you're involved with.
Aye, look, I suppose, Brendan, I grew up in a house where my father had a deep love of GAA and of coaching, and you see it, and the time investment that he put into teams that I was involved in, and you just develop a love for it. I was very fortunate then that I've had some brilliant opportunities, and I've been up in Lammacroy for 3 years now, and it's been the most incredible coaching experience and just life experience, to be honest with you. The people up there and the community and just everything about it, it's been incredible. And you know, obviously the involvement with Donegal Intercounty football is a high commitment, but such is the love that I just developed for that club and them people. It was just you just love going up there and you just love working with players and trying to improve them and just learning all the time. It's a pretty incredible environment up there, and I was very privileged to be a part of it for the last 3 years.
Yeah, and you know, talking to Declan Bonner earlier and just about the way Aaron Gill's come down and approached him and come after him and look at the success. You know, everybody, I think Donegal, look, would take you, there's no doubt in that there. They would love to have you on board. How did the Lochmacroy connection come about?
It was probably very random, Brendan. I was finishing my previous master's at the time. I was involved in Donegal Minors, and I got contacted by Ciarán Mina, who was involved in the backroom team at that stage in Lochmacroy, but he was also involved in Derry as well. And he was looking for someone to come in and give a hand to the coaching side of things. He has a deep love for his club, and to be honest with you, it was something that at the time I was going to struggle to commit to because of my studies and being involved with Donegal and working full time. But having met Ciarán, there was never any way I was going to pass up the opportunity to work with him. Just the way that he, the love that he had for the club, the way I met him, and just everything about the first meeting, it was just an opportunity I couldn't pass up. And it's been an incredible 3 years since that very first meeting, and I've loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. They obviously wanted to keep you, and look what happened. I mean, look, what you know, you talk about those kind of breakthrough times, and particularly as we know in Tyrone and the championship and the passion for it there, but to come through and to, you know, to Trillick in the final and that, you know, everyone was saying this and it's their year, it's their year, but he's come up with the goods. And you know, really, really tough, obviously, game against Kilku, then at the weekend stepping in the Ulster, but you could see even at the end, you know, the support that was there, what you've created in Lochmacroy, it is something that's pretty magical.
I think magical is the only word to describe it, Brendan. The number of games in the championship that we played this year, the Carrickmore games, they're neighbours, they're actually in the same parish. To come over them, they've never beat them in championship football before, to do it in their first ever semi-final, and then obviously to go and take on Trillick then and to beat Trillick was a tall order at the time. But look, Brendan, the players themselves are just a phenomenal group of players. They're just so committed to their craft and so dedicated to just been brilliant teammates and just been brilliant players for their club and ambassadors for their club. And you know, I've been fortunate to be involved in many good days, but I don't think I've ever been involved in a day like the county final in Tyrone. It was absolutely phenomenal. Just the experience of it, from the pipe band to the atmosphere, it was just incredible. It's indescribable. After the game, you were nearly in a state of shock, to be honest with you. And just because you had been involved with them for 3 years, and you just grew to love them, and there's just such a bond there. It was a magical period. I would say it was the most enjoyable period in my coaching experience the last 6 weeks with Lop McRoy. It was just indescribable, and it'll be memories for the rest of our lives. It was just special, and we'll never forget it.
Yeah, listen, look, as you said, the story, probably even the fact that went to replay in the semi-final, everyone would have thought then, yeah, this and this Carrick Moores, you come through that, a lot of people experience at Trillick, didn't count against you in the final. Was that experience evident now? Was it a different thing now with Kilcoo and Ulster, look, or is there another reason behind it? Was this a step up in terms of who you were playing, or did that experience count a bit on Saturday?
I think, look, Brendan, the reality is that Kilcoo have won 7 of the last 8 championships and 13 of the last 14 in Down. Yes. You know, you go through their team there, I think there's 10 players that are represented Down at senior level at the start of the last day. They have an unbelievable amount of experience, but also an unbelievable amount of quality and craft and how to win games at that level. For us, the big thing was that we had invested so much time and so much effort into trying to win Tyrone, and then to regroup again, it was difficult. I wouldn't say it, and we would have been disappointed with our performance on Saturday night. We felt that some of the things we really pride ourselves on and have high standards on, the basic skills, the execution of the basic skills particularly, you know, let us down at times. But look, the bottom line is Kilcoo have that experience. They're used to playing on that stage. And I suppose if you look at the teams who've been very good in Ulster Club in the last number of years, you know, obviously outside Gidor when they won it in Ulster, but you know, the likes of Scotstown and Kilcoo and Glen Mahara and Slackneil before them, and even now Erin Gales and Newbridge, you know, they've went back to back. It's getting that experience of games, yes, and getting that experience of the occasions and that all come with it, you know, and that, I think that's probably a reason why Tyrone teams struggle in Ulster, because that's, you know, no team has won back to back in Tyrone since 2005 when Carrick Moore did it. So it's a very difficult championship to win, but you know, hopefully now that Loch McCrory will continue to be at that level for the next number of years, and hopefully if they get another opportunity, that experience will stand to them, you know.
And look, you know, it's funny even talking yesterday, I was talking to a couple of people about it, you know, about things like the short kick out and that, and I was chatting to Cathal O'Kane, who was saying so many teams in Down tried to push up on it, that Kilcoo are so good at so many things that, as you said, they're an absolute force in many ways. So, you know, where your team is at in terms of building and coming through, you know, they're in a certain evolution, if you like. So there was a lot of things working against you. And of course, you never give up. You could see that the spirit was in that team. So certainly, I suppose, a bit of watch this space. The Loch McCrory boys will be around to stay.
Well, listen, like, as I said, I can't speak highly enough of the club and how they do things. They do things so well and for the right reasons. And that'll be their ambition. Like every other team's ambition is to compete to win championships every year. But the players certainly dedicate themselves to that. And look, the reality is too, the age profile of the Loch McCrory team is young. I think the average age is 23.9, you know, so the average age of the Kilcoo team on Saturday night was just slightly over 32. So that bit of experience as well helps. And, you know, the experience of playing big games in Healy Park this year under lights with big crowds will stand to them as well. But Loch McCrory have a lot of quality, but like a lot of other teams in Tyrone, they have a lot of quality as well. And that's why the championship is so hard to win, because there's so many teams at a similar level. But hopefully now Loch McCrory can continue to build on it and take confidence from this year, because they are certainly a club that do a lot of things right, you know.
Yeah, and look, that's why, boys, like, you're in charge of teams and stats. Now, 23.9 average age, not 24. See, I would have probably rounded that up, but that attention to detail probably separates boys like you and me, the real coaches like you that get into the proper stats. Look, top man, look, there's just Loch McCrory next year. There's loads of rumours about you going here and there. You want to mention any of them now, or will we leave that for another day?
Certainly not, Brendan.
Let's just say you're a wanted man, and we'll leave it there. Luke Barrett, listen, look, great catching up, and listen, wish you all the best in your future coaching, of course, your Masters.
Thanks a million, Brendan. Appreciate it.
Top man, Luke Barrett there. What a great guy he is. What a great coach he is as well. Thanks to him for contributing to the show, and of course, all my other guests on. Thanks, Joe Dex, for producing this ever. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions.